Now, that's a great song to preface our lesson this morning. We're talking about pollution. You know, when I was teaching in the public schools, I had a course I taught in earth science, and one whole unit dealt with pollution. And the reason was because more and more we are realizing what mankind has done to the perfect creation that God has given us. And you're reminded of it every day. You drive up to the lake, you go to the beach, and the first thing you're confronted with is a sign that says, "Warning! Pregnant women should not eat these fish." Wow. I'm not sure anybody ought to eat those fish. But it's important to understand that it's all around us. I mean, look at what the people living in Flint, Michigan have had to deal with in the past 2 years. I live on the St. Joe River. Yesterday, there were boats picking up trash. And one boat got stuck outside our place. And they had a whole boat full of plastic cylinders that they had picked up, apparently coming from Niles. You know, we see it all around us. But I'd like to suggest to you that spiritual pollution is just as much of a problem. And that's something you and I can do something about. We can't address all of the physical pollution problems. Every time that baby of Mandy and Shane's comes to our class. I mean, how can you be negative about the world when you see that beauty? Because you see, a baby is born pure. Baby doesn't need pure in heart. They've already got it. Jesus said in Matthew 18, verse 2, he had taken a little child and he let them stand among them, and he said, "Unless your hearts are changed and you become like this little child, you'll never get into the kingdom of heaven." So then whoever becomes like this little child will be greatest in the kingdom of heaven. We see a lot of pictures depicting an image of Jesus with kids. What I'm more interested in is what he says, you know. Matthew 19, verse 14, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them." Why we just spend a ton of money fixing this building? You and I, a lot of us, probably never been in the basement of this place. But we're concerned about little children. We have great hopes that in the future we will be able to influence those little children. But we become so polluted in so many ways. Let my old earth science teaching come in this morning and let's talk a little bit about how this happens. First of all, let me point out to you that we get polluted when contaminants are not contained. You know, I had a lot of kids that were in agriculture that were in my class. We had to talk about pesticides and herbicides that contaminate our water and how important it is in agriculture that we contain the pollutants. You ever wonder why we have so much cancer to talk about all the time here? I don't think there's a family here that hadn't been touched by cancer in one way or another. Why is that? Well, one of the main reasons is because of what I just talked about, the fact that the spray that is put on our fruit trees in our gardens ends up in our drinking supply. But you know, that's true spiritually as well. You get spiritually contaminated when the contaminants are not contained. 1 Corinthians 15:33, the Bible says, "Do not be deceived." Your translation may say evil companions or evil communications. The Greek word there is homilia, and what it means is being crowded together. So what is it saying? be not deceived. When you are crowded together with sinful people, it will corrupt your morals. Be not deceived. Being with the wrong type of people can contaminate your morals. We need to contain what we see and what we hear. Just like the runoff from the farmer's field. We need to contain our speech. The tongue is a fire, an unrighteous world among our members, which contains and stains our whole body. James 3 and verse 5. Ephesians 4 and verse 29 tells us, do not let any unwholesome words ever pass from your lips, but let all your words be good for benefiting others. Boy, there's a challenge, isn't it? That passage goes on and talks about how hard it is. We need to contain the pollution of our tongue. And that's hard. I can tell you how hard that is. When I was an atheist, I had the most picturesque speech you can imagine, to be polite. I got fired by IBM for my foul mouth. That actually happened. It's the only time in my life I've ever been fired from anything. Just couldn't whip it. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22, hold yourself aloof from every form of evil. When I became a Christian, I worked on cleaning up my mouth. Made some progress. I remember one time Phyllis said something to me. She was in a particularly good mood. She said, you know, I haven't heard you cuss all week. I said, that's the most encouraging thing I've heard you say to me since we got married. Then I went to National Guard camp. And Richard can tell you about this. For 2 weeks, I'm with a bunch of guys in a military operation. Everybody from the NCO to the supply sergeant has got sentences containing profanity. So what happened to me? Do not be conceived. Do not be deceived. Evil conching together with unbelievers corrupt good morals. And you know that's true, don't you? Who you associate with and who you are around determines how you speak. It's tough. With God's help, we can do it. Another interesting thing about pollution is that it happens and we're not prepared to handle it. One of our problems right now is that we are not prepared to do alternatives to the contaminants that are screwing up our environment. And we've got a president who particularly does not understand that at this point, whatever your political persuasions are. Proverbs 22 and verse 6, train up a child. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Better part of my ministry for 50 years has been talking to kids about what they face at school. What they face on the job, what they face and will face as adults. Because we have to train kids to know how to deal with what's coming. And you know that's true. You know what you face. How can we expect innocent kids to deal with the world when we have a hard time dealing with it? Ephesians 6, verse 4, you parents, do not rouse your children to resentment. And listen to this translation. But bring them up in the sort of education and training that the Lord approves. That's the most literal translation of Ephesians 6 and verse 4. Bring them up as the Lord approves. What a challenge. Remember Paul's comments to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, beginning with verse 14? Remain faithful to what you have learned and have been led to rely upon, being well aware of whom you have learned it from. Boy, there's a good statement. From early childhood, he's talking to Timothy. From early childhood, your mind has been familiar with that which makes you wise by faith that is in Jesus Christ. And we know that Timothy got that from his mother and his grandmother. That's where he learned how to talk without swearing. That's where he learned how to associate with people that had the right values. How he avoided the alcohol, the drugs. Oh yeah, they had the drugs back then. The meth isn't new. Cocaine is not new. Marijuana, certainly not new. And then he goes on and he says, which made you wise by faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful to teach, to refute error, to correct, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished, equipped for all good work. That's why we have classes. That's why we encourage you to continue to study and to grow and to learn, to have good spiritual nutrition. Well, what can spiritual pollution do? Well, what does physical solution do? Have you ever gone outside and looked at the sky? We've had a couple of pretty good nights recently. But you know, here where we live, you can't see the Milky Way. You can see fringes of it. Where we live, on the rivers that we live on, you can't see the bottom. You know, I read the writings of the first guys that came up the St. Joe River off of Lake Michigan. They talk about being able to see bottom at 40 feet of water. 40 feet. Now it's 4 inches. And I know because I live there. We had a bird bath, got blown in the river. It's in the river somewhere. But the river's so cloudy, I can't find it. 40 feet? Hey, could have done it instantly. They also talk about the fish swimming around the river. That was another part of that. It clouds our vision. Makes it so we can't see the stars. Limits our capacity to see the beauty of the world around us. And spiritual pollution clouds our vision of marriage. Marital problems are usually due to spiritual pollution of one kind or another. Putting emphasis on things is another kind of pollution that contaminates our happiness and our joys. Pollution clouds us and makes us unable to make good decisions because the data we get is false. So our kids need to have the vision of what marriage is. And boy, that one's totally missing in our culture. They need to get a vision of who you marry and why you marry. Shotgun marriages never did work. But the kind of thing that's going on today is almost totally physical, and there's no spiritual basis to the marriage, and the result is divorce and broken homes. We need to have good vision about why to have children. Having a baby is not an accident. Shouldn't be. Having a baby is something that is a conscious decision. We've been talking on Wednesday night about 1 Timothy, and that verse talks a little bit about that. It doesn't talk about having babies because they're cute. It doesn't talk about having babies for selfish reasons, for an accident. As a matter of fact, what you see is statements like, women will find their salvation in motherhood if they never abandon faith and love and holiness. What an incredible opportunity. I don't think I hope that I'm not overdoing this. I pick on her a lot. But I hope you've gotten some picture of Mandy's view of this. I talked about her T-shirt, I think, last Sunday. But I think it's important to understand, you watch her dealing with those children, and what do you see her emphasis in? What do you see her concerned about? What have you seen her move to tears about? What's important in her life? She's a classic example of what Timothy is talking about. And the Bible talks about those kind of relationships all the way through in Titus, the second chapter, beginning with verse 3. Paul says, the aged women also let their deportment testify of holiness. They should avoid scandal and beware of becoming slaves to drink, teaching others by their good example so they may teach discretion to younger women, leading them to be loving wives and loving mothers and serious homekeepers, kind-hearted and respecting their husbands, a good advertisement for the Christian faith. That's not the only role that women can have, but that's a beautiful role. It is guaranteed only to them. And what else does pollution do? Let me tell you something. It is pollution that causes cancer. We don't have records of cancer being a major issue in ancient times. When archaeologists excavate a skeleton from early history of the earth, they don't see the malignancies which we have today, because cancer always leaves its mark on the skeleton. Cancer is when normal cells have gone astray, usually because of man-made pollution. And the way they treat that is that the normal cells, the unhealthy cells, are weak. They're not as strong. Normal cells are stronger. So what they do is they kill all the cells because they know the normal cells will come back faster. That's the basic idea of radiation and chemo. The spiritual pollution causes a growth, not of cancer, of a physical nature, but a spiritual cancer, of disease, of all the problems that we see in our culture around us. It was kind of interesting in Galatians, the fifth chapter, starting with verse 9, there's a list of spiritual pollutants. Listen to this. The acts of a sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred. Boy, that one's been spelled out recently, hasn't it? Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies. But just to make sure you don't miss something, Paul goes on and says, and the like. There's your list of spiritual pollutants, the ones that cause the destruction of lives. And pollution wastes resources. What has pollution cost you and me? Well, gas prices are headed for $3 a gallon. And that's before the governor put the 45-cent tax on it. Why is it so high? Because of oil spills. How much of a problem do we have with plastics? They found a dead whale on the beach last week. It had 85 pounds of plastic in its stomach. What does it cost us in cancer treatment, in lung disease? Well, you can go down the list. Nicotine, alcohol, thalidomide, mercury, lead. And what is the cost of spiritual pollution? Broken homes, suicides, divorce, mental illness, violence, murder, hatred, prisons, disturbed children. We live in a world that has a pollution problem. But I suggest to you the spiritual pollution is more destructive than the physical pollution, because it touches us personally, every single one of us. So what's the cure? Well, we know what the cure is for physical problems. For both types of problems, education is the issue. This is one of the reasons for this sermon this morning. It's one of the reasons I spent 41 years teaching kids about the type of thing we've discussed here, but in a physical realm. Galatians 6, beginning with verse 7, says, "Do not be deceived, because God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows in life will control his harvest. If he sows a seed of his lower nature, if he sows pollution, he will reap a harvest of corruption. But if he sows a field of the Spirit will bring him eternal life. Let us not get tired of doing what is right, for after a while we will reap a harvest of blessing. If you don't get discouraged and give up." I don't know where this thing with Elena will end. I'm scared. I'm really scared. But I don't know where it's going to end up. But the one thing I do know is that there will be for her a harvest of eternal life. And much as this life can get bad, much as we don't understand a lot of what happens, we know this is not caused by God, it's caused by Satan and human selfishness. Did you listen carefully to what you were singing? I didn't tell Carl to lead this, but he couldn't have picked a better psalm. "Pure in heart, O God, help me to be." Let that be our prayer. "May I devote my life wholly to Thee." That's something we can all do. That's a choice. "Watch thou my wayward feet." Oh, man. "Guide me with counsel sweet." I need guidance, don't you? "Pure in heart, O God, help me to be. Teach me to do Thy will most lovingly." Keep praying for Lena, Larry. I'm so thankful that Carl and Julie give us that sheet, because there's no shortage of people to think about, pray about, send cards to, worship God through. Help me to be. "Be thou my friend and guide. Let me with thee abide, pure in heart. Help me to be." If you have something we need to pray about for you, we encourage you to express that this morning. We're singing a song that reflects that conviction. And if you need to respond to God's invitation, or if you just want us to pray with you, we encourage you to come. As together we stand and sing, won't you please come?